that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Bells will ring. Buongiorno, Penguin Radio listeners. This is DJ Amore, and I'll be here every Wednesday, live from 5 to 6 p.m. with my segment, The Travel Diaries. Each week, I'll tell you stories of my experience traveling and studying abroad, as well as some tips and fun facts. Last week, on my very first show, I talked about my beginning experience with planning my trip abroad. I gave a little intro on myself and about how to obtain a passport. Shout out to my mom for helping me with my application process and with getting my very first passport. She might be listening today, so I wanted to just put that out there. I also talked about how to pack and how to pack for a trip, as well as travel plans getting to Milan, Italy, which is where I stayed while I was abroad. Travel plans just as in my flight to and from Milan from San Francisco, from California. For today's show, I would like to talk a little more about some things from Milan I didn't get to mention last week, as well as my first journey to Verona, Italy. So let me just jump in here on Penguin Radio. Milan is my home away from home. I miss it so much. It was an amazing time. I miss all the people I met and the places I saw while I was there. It was really just so welcoming from day one. And last week I talked about I gave a summary of the first few weeks that I was there, and I mentioned some sites and places I went to. With those sites and places, the main one I had spent most of my time at was the Duomo. The Duomo is the Cathedral of Milan. It's Catholicism. It's one of the oldest buildings in Milan, in Italy, practically, besides the Vatican. It's pretty close. And when you're there, it's just kind of in this piazza, in this square, and it just grabs your attention immediately. It's so beautiful, the structure, the way the architecture is. You can take tours of it, so you can go inside, you can go to the top. Tickets are really cheap, and if you're a student, they give you discounts. But anyway, I mentioned the Duomo last week, so quickly I wanted to just bring it up again, as it's pretty much the main place you want to check out if you're ever in Milan. But also I wanted to talk about the parks and other kinds of like museums there. There are so many museums. I practically got lost in them, and I'd be there for hours and hours, like every day. Whenever I had time, actually, you know, I was there for school, so I wasn't in museums every day, but I did attempt to go to many different ones. I saw some pretty awesome stuff, lots of things by Picasso and, there's other ones. I can't really think of any right now, I'm sorry. But anyway, there are some really, really good ones out there. Like there's the Piccolo di Brera. It's just a fancy name in Italian for the name of the museum. And it is quite difficult to navigate when you're in Milan, but definitely have some kind of like, you know, phone system, GPS, and it can get you there in no time. Maybe make some friends with other Italians, you know, Italian people who live there. They are usually very friendly, especially if you speak English, but you're attempting to learn Italian. It's always a good time to do that when you're trying to find your way around Milan. Another part about Milan, like places and sites to see, is like all the restaurants. I mentioned that a little bit before last week too. So many good places to eat. Honestly, Italy is just food when you think about it. When you go there, you're probably going to gain 15 pounds, and you know, props to you. I definitely was trying to reach that goal, to be honest. I know most people want to lose weight, but I was all about eating as much food as I could just because of how real and, you know, enriching it is, and how you can literally just taste the culture in each bite. And honestly, these last few months, I've been home for about 4 months now since I left Milan. And I miss the food probably the most, next to all the friends that I made. The food, I miss it so much. You have no idea. The food here in America, it's just so much, it's not regulated enough, and it's not as fresh, in my opinion. So that's something I really hope that will become a bigger issue in the United States than it is now. There is so many kinds of foods that are banned in other countries. I thought this would be kind of fun to mention. Fun fact, macaroni and cheese is actually banned in Italy. I'm not sure about any other European country, but mac and cheese, especially Kraft mac and cheese, is illegal in Italy. I found that out probably about 2 weeks into my trip from one of my friends, and I thought it was one of the most interesting things I've ever heard. And I found out when I did my research was that it's some kind of food coloring, like whatever kind of chemical they put to make the cheese look that color, is illegal in most countries in Europe. I definitely know for sure Italy, not about any others. Whereas here in America, it's like a staple food, especially for us college students. I mean, it's probably something we've all had numerous times while in the dorms and, you know, just being in college in general. Some other things I wanted to discuss, though, besides just the food and, you know, the Duomo in Milan, was also for my clubbers out there, my people who like to go out every once in a while on the weekends and have a good time. I wanted to recommend some places in Milan if you're ever there. There's this one club called Old Fashioned, and honestly, while I was there, Old Fashioned was the place to be every, actually, it was like Thursday nights. For, I know that probably is not like the greatest night to go out, but in Milan, it's the best night to go out, including Saturdays. Thursdays and Saturdays, they'd have different kinds of themes for the club that night. There'd be all the different kinds of music. They had a rigatone room on one side. I don't know if any of you know what that is. It's a form of, it's like a mixture of Spanish and, I feel like I'm just going to say Spanish. Anyway, so different kinds of music. And then they had lots of actually American music. I was a little surprised by that. I was expecting when I went out to these places, to these clubs and bars and things in Italy, that it'd be Italian music more than anything else. But the two things I heard the most were Spanish music and Italian music. And I'll definitely play some of those songs for you right when we go to one of our breaks. But I just wanted to mention that because it was really fun. Like, I honestly probably had the most fun in my life at the clubs and bars I went to in Italy and actually almost everywhere in Europe. Not that I'm saying I haven't had fun out here in California with my friends at bars and clubs. Of course, I do love going to do that all the time. But out there, it's just a totally different vibe, just something you wouldn't expect. And even though, you know, you're expecting that culture's music, it's so, so much better to hear something you, like, are familiar with and be able to just get down to that and go crazy. That was one of the most fun things I did there. But definitely, if you're ever in Milan, which is kind of the point of my talking to you about this, I want to encourage anyone listening to get out there and go explore, go travel, even if it's, you know, in California, anywhere in California, anywhere other states in the United States, close to us, far away from us, get out there and go do something you haven't done before. And with going to Milan, definitely recommend going to Old Fashioned. There's one that's actually called The Club. Very confusing. When I was in Milan, I had friends always saying, hey, you're going to go to the club tonight? And I'd have to ask, do you mean the actual club or like a club like Old Fashioned? And, you know, that's kind of a downer when you have to clarify what club your friends are going to go to. So I tried to avoid that as much as possible. Another good one was called La Banque. I'm not exactly sure what that means, La Banque. I definitely could look it up for anybody who wants to know next time on my show. But for now, I'm just, you know, throwing out there some places to check out while you're in Milan, if you ever are, which you totally should be. Another thing I want to discuss about places, aperitivo. Aperitivos are heaven. They are, let me just real quick explain what it is. Aperitivos are kind of like a happy hour, what you call a happy hour here in the United States, but a little better because it's almost like a buffet type of style, but you're meeting a bunch of different people that you know have met before in like a bar or in a club, and they have them at certain times of the day. Like Old Fashioned would have them from 5 p.m. to, I don't know, 7 p.m. And the time difference obviously is not the same. I'm just saying that to not confuse myself right now with time here. But so that would be the time for aperitivo, and you go to the club, and there's usually like not a big line because there's so many different aperitivos all over Milan that everyone's going to different places. And you go, if you went to old fashioned, you would go inside, get a stamp from the bouncer, and this stamp would be to get your aperitivo. So you pay $10 and it's all you can eat. Everything they have out, €10, all you can eat. And that also comes with a drink. So you get whatever kind of drink, everything including water. I found that kind of interesting because I don't know if any of you know this, and maybe if you did, but water there is not free if you go somewhere like it is here in the United States, especially in California. You have to pay for the water. And at clubs and at bars, they really will upcharge you for those waters. It's usually, I think the cheapest bottle of water I ever bought there was €3. And that's quite a bit of money when you convert it to American dollars. It's almost $4.55. I'm rounding up a little bit. Don't quote me. I don't have a calculator with me right now. But it's pretty intense. So they just give you one free drink card. Not free. Comes to $10 purchase of the aperitivo. And you go with your friends and you sit down and you get all the food you can eat and you mingle and meet new people. So like I said, kind of like happy hour. But the cool thing is, after you're done with aperitivo, you can leave and go back home or go to a different aperitivo, bounce around, go to another bar. And then at around 11 p.m. at night, go back to old fashioned, and there's the club. Live music once in a while. They said that when there's live music, they'll give you like a warning. And they also have the theme. So every once in a while, it was like American theme, which was really fun for me and all of my friends, obviously, who I met who were also abroad from other places in the United States and all over the world, honestly. And other than that, it's just a good time. You want to go when it's kind of early because you already have that stamp, like I said before. You have a stamp that gets you in for the food and whatnot. But then you get another stamp when you go in, just kind of like a re-entry process to going in for the actual like clubbing part. And to go back to aperitivos real quick, literally the best things. They're so amazing. I had this one place called Maya. Maya, kind of like the Mayan civilization was the theme of the aperitivo restaurant. But every Wednesday, they would have drinks half off. So instead of paying $10 for just food and a drink, you could pay $10 for food and a drink and then only like €3 or €5. I'm sorry, I keep saying dollars. I mean euro. €3 or €5 to get another drink. Whereas usually if you were there just for normal restaurant hours, it would be the same amount of money as you're getting for aperitivo, like €10, €7 for a drink. Just the drink, not so much sitting down and eating at the restaurant, but just for the drink. So aperitivos were a lifesaver, especially for us college students out there in Italy. And usually it was on Wednesdays. It could be on Thursdays. They did have certain days at different kinds of places, so you always want to check out for that stuff. But it is a really good time to, you know, plan with your friends and go hang out and mingle with people. You know, try a new drink, try a new place. Maya definitely was my favorite place I went to. It was in this little square, not a square, it was in part of like a section of Milan called Navili. Navili was probably one of the prettiest parts of Milan that I saw. There was all kinds of canals, and you would see boats in the canals and all the restaurants and aperitivos along the sides. And there were trams that would take you everywhere around Milan, so I could leave from my building in Buonarroti and take a metro 2 stops to Porta La Venezia and then get off there and get on a tram, and only like maybe 4 minutes on the tram takes me directly in front of Maya, where there are all kinds of other aperitivos, so you can hop around, bounce around to different places. And it was really just very convenient. There were some places around my building too. I lived in a building called Buonarroti, and it was pretty close to my school, Cattolica, Universidad Cattolica of Milan. And there were all kinds of other places to go around my street, so I pretty much hit all of those up my first 2 weeks in Milan, because I wasn't really trying to cook for myself. I wanted to learn the new kinds of foods and cultures. So just talking about places, going back to my first topic about places, these are just some things I wanted to recommend for anybody that's listening and who's thinking about, you know, going to Europe. Stop by in Italy and definitely try out these places. Old Fashioned, Maya, Even go to my school. Go check out Universidad Católica. It is a beautiful school, huge campus, one of the most prestigious colleges, universities in Europe. And I had an amazing time there, as I'm sure you'll hear me say more than once while talking on my show. Let me get right to you with this. Hey there. Give me 1 second. I'm so sorry. After this short music break, I'm going to discuss my trip to the fair city of Verona. I'm DJ Amore, telling you to get up and go explore, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Hey there, penguins! You're listening to The Travel Diaries. I'm DJ More, and that was a song by Prince Royce. It's a lovely song. I love it to death, and I heard it in one of those clubs I mentioned to you before in my last segment. Just wanted to put that out there for any of you that wanted to look it up. Before the break, I was reminiscing on my first few weeks in Milan. But now I'd like to move it on down the line to my whirlwind first trip to Verona, Italy. In Fair Verona, where we lay our scene, I had the time of my life. Fun fact, Verona is the setting for Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, the tale of star-crossed lovers. I actually had the chance to go see Juliet's house when I was in Verona, one of the main reasons I wanted to go to Verona, just because I'm a huge romantic and I wanted to see that, obviously, and the fact that it's a real place. I mean, I didn't think I knew that until I went to Italy and was talking with some friends who were planning the trip, and I kind of, you know, invited myself, because why would you not do that when you're meeting new people and wanting to go see things? Hopefully, those of you listening know the story of Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare. It's a pretty classic story and something you're, I think, required to learn in high school. So I just want to talk about it real quick. On the way there, my friends and I, we left super early in the morning. So early. And let me tell you, I am not a morning person at all. You can ask my roommate. Shout out to Mariah. I am not a morning person. I will avoid having to get up in the morning at all costs. And for that trip, my friends and I, who live in my building in Buonarroti, we bought the tickets the night before, and it was really cheap. That's one thing I miss about Europe and traveling so much. You can go anywhere for under, I don't know, 40, 50 euro. This train ticket round trip, if I remember correctly, only cost each of us 45 euro round trip from Milan to Verona. Which was fantabulous because, I'm sorry, that's not a word, which was fantastic because, you know, I'm kind of on a budget. I was on a budget while I was there. I am still a struggling college student, and I had the opportunity to study abroad through, you know, Dominican having a great foreign exchange program. But on that budget, it was a really good first trip. That was my first trip after being in Milan. Like I said in my show before, I'm telling you again now, I had never left the United States since before going abroad on this trip. So pretty much everywhere I went was my first time at those places. But with Verona, I was super excited because I was finally getting to go see something other than Milan, which I had become pretty familiar with my first few weeks there. While in Verona, the first thing we did was, after getting off the train, walked around the area where the train station was. That's a little tip I want to give to all my travelers out there. When you're in a new place, definitely try and look around where you are, know how to get back to where your train or, you know, bus stop or anything, airport, where those places are. So if you ever have an emergency or need to get back as soon as possible to wherever you're going back to, know your surrounding area before you start veering off into places that you haven't been too familiar with, because it could help you later on in your trips. So after leaving the train station, my friends and I walked around the surrounding area of the train station. There were a bunch of cute cafes. We stopped for breakfast at one of those cafes, and it was actually called Juliet's House. It's kind of strange because Juliet's House in Italian is Casa di Giulietta, which is what the actual House of Juliet is called when you go see it in Verona. So I feel like maybe this cafe was maybe ripping off their name just a little bit, but it was still very, very cute. I'm a kind of person that holds on to mementos and whatnot, so I have my little business card and my little sticker I got from that cafe when I was there, and I did that for about everywhere I went, which is something else I'd like to suggest, you know, when you're doing something big like that, for those of you who haven't really had the chance to travel and then are going to, kind of save some of those things just so you have those memories, besides just taking pictures, but having those little things to reminisce on later when you're thinking about your trips. After breakfast, though, my friends and I started walking towards Juliet's house, Casa di Giulietta. It was packed. There were tons of people. It was nothing like the movie Letters to Juliet. When that movie, Amanda Seyfried played the main character, and she had the whole square to herself writing her letter to Juliet. But then I got there, and it was completely filled with people. All kinds of tourists. But again, you know, I was a tourist too, so it's okay. I'm not mad at anybody. The first thing you notice when you walk into Juliet's house is that it's not really obvious. It's in an alleyway with a bunch of other shops, and it doesn't really stand out, and you have to pay attention. And I was with a bunch of my friends, so I'm trying to not lose them as I'm getting my way inside of Juliet's house. But once you get inside the courtyard, the first thing you see is the statue of Juliet. And I found out when I was there that apparently it is good luck to take a picture with her, but in the picture, have your hand grasping her right breast. I know that probably sounds kind of weird. It definitely was to me. I didn't understand the whole concept of why that was good luck, but hey, who am I to question that kind of stuff? So I really didn't, and I took a picture with her, but I did not do that. I didn't touch her right breast. I was like, I feel like I'm degrading Juliet's memory and her statue, so I'm just not going to do that. But, you know, if you go and you want to do what everybody else is doing, I recommend it. It seemed like people were having fun. In my opinion, wasn't for me, but I thought it was something fun to share about going to Juliet's house. Another thing too about that is you get a check. You can actually buy a ticket. I think it's like maybe €5. Buy postcards too. Those are always fun. Send postcards to your loved ones when you're abroad. You can buy a ticket and go upstairs and look around the house and what inspired Shakespeare to write the play of Romeo and Juliet. And there's a balcony, the infamous Juliet's balcony in the scene where Romeo is he's eavesdropping. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me, but he's eavesdropping on her, talking to herself about how much she loves him. But that balcony is just so iconic in the movies and the play and anytime you ever talk about it. And it was really just kind of awe-shocking to me, just so shocking that I got to go on that balcony and take my picture, which is on my Instagram. So, and Facebook too. I'm sorry, I like sharing that kind of stuff. And I had all my friends do it too, and it was really just a really good time. Thinking about it now makes me like super happy, and I'm totally smiling. But the balcony is definitely something I would recommend to all you out there who are also crazy romantic and want to experience Romeo and Juliet's love story. Another thing about that is just kind of get there early. Like we went, like I said before, my friends and I went there super early because we had so much other things we wanted to do. Just kind of experience Verona. And another thing I wanted to talk about after we went to Juliet's house, we just kind of walked around, saw a few churches, which is another great thing to do when you're in Europe. Go look at all the beautiful churches. There's nothing to compare to the churches in Europe, like in the United States. I know the United States is a much newer country than Europe, but all the churches, it was amazing. When we were there, we just stopped for lunch after going to looking around. We stopped for lunch at this one place, and I just wanted to quickly tell you all about this restaurant we went to. It was a little home restaurant, like a home-owned, like the owner was there. He made the food, had only like two or three people helping him. All of them didn't speak a lick of English. All of it was Italian. So here are me and my six friends trying to figure out how to order what we want. Couldn't read the menus. It was just all kinds of crazy. And I ended up, moral of the story, ordering donkey pasta. That's right, you heard me. Donkey pasta. Not beef, like cow, like you would normally have in most pastas, like Bolognese pasta, which is what I thought I had ordered. Mm-mm. Donkey meat. Donkey meat in my pasta. I had a good few bites before I realized this tastes funny. Not what I was expecting for pasta Bolognese. And then once I started realizing it kind of had like a gamey smell, gamey kind of taste to it, I, went and talked to the manager, and the owner of the restaurant, trying my best to communicate with him in my English and Italian, all the little Italian that I knew. And we finally used one of my friend's phones to Google Translate this one word he kept saying. I can't even tell you now what the word was, but he just kept repeating it and repeating it. And once we had him say it into an iPhone and get it on Google Translate, it said donkey. And that's when it hit me. I was eating donkey pasta. And it was, if you haven't gotten it from my conversation now, it was not the best. It was kind of gross. And my friend actually ended up eating it because she liked it so much. I have no idea why. I can't tell you. But I thought it was quite entertaining and something I just like sharing about my time in Verona, because it wasn't something I saw coming. I just thought I was going to go get some pasta, in Italy, and it's going to be great. And I usually am open to trying new things. And here I am eating donkey. It really was just so, oh God, it was just so interesting. I've had some strange things in my life before, like things I would never usually think I would eat, but now I can say I had donkey. And just before I go to my next break, I wanted to talk about how in my shows, I'm going to try and discuss each of my trips around Europe and the order they happened. So before I was talking about Verona, that was my first trip after getting to Milan. And being in Verona, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget pretty much all of my trips. But being in Verona, I definitely had that feel of I'm in Italy and it's somewhere else other than Milan, the fashion capital of the world. This is like love. Like, this is love right here in this city. All the people were extremely nice. There was a love festival happening, which happened to be coincidence. We didn't plan that at all. But there was hearts everywhere and decorations and lights and just, all the cute couples. Just a really good time. And right now, I'm going to play some travel tunes for you. And we'll be right back. I'm DJ Amore, telling you to get up and go explore. And you're listening to Penguin Radio.
Visto todo el mundo, el taxi sensato del patio. DJ Chino. Queremos darle una bienvenida a todas las mujeres que hacen vino por todo el mundo.
Yo la conocí en un taxi, en camino al club. Yo la conocí en un taxi, en camino al club. Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paró.
Estaba sexy, pero tan sexy, que por poquito arrollamos un tipo y chocamos el taxi. Era el chofer, el que dijo, oye, mira esa mujer, está dura, dura, qué dura, pero ya tú sabes que ella quiere efectivo, dinero, visa, qué chula, lula, con culo de mula. Y no le tengas duda, ella le saca todo el jugo a la uva, que hace vino, sí, hace vino.
Hace todo, de todo, de todo. Ella hace vino, mi amigo.
Ella hace todo, de todo, de todo, de todo.
Ella hace vino, mi amigo.
Yo la conocí en un taxi, en camino al club. Yo la conocí en un taxi, en camino al club. Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paró.
Conocí en un taxi, yo la conocí. Le dije, ¿tú tienes novio? Ella dijo que sí. ¿Cómo así? Entonces, ¿qué tú haces por aquí? Tú me lo paraste. El taxi, siéntate aquí. Sí, can I get a kissy? Can I get a hickey? You look like a freaky, dame cerebro y pinky. Tú de dominiki, te pone kinky. You put it in places that I would never think it. Ella se bebe dos botellas de vino para que se vea más fino y sea bueno para los intestinos. Pero no, ella lo que le gustan son los masculinos. Para ella se le vino. Que
ella hace todo, de todo, de todo, de todo.
Ella hace vino, mi amigo.
Ella hace todo, de todo, de todo, de todo.
Ella hace vino, mi amigo.
Yo la conocí en un taxi, en camino al club. Yo la conocí en un taxi, en camino al club. Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paró
el taxi.
Me lo paro.
Lo paro con una mano, lo paro que yo la vi.
Yo me paro el taxi. Yo me paro el taxi.
Ella está por un accidente, no me importa si está crazy, no me importa si hace vino por ahí.
Yo me paro el taxi. Yo me paro el taxi.
Ella se le
fine. Why? Because she makes wine.
Julia me se está servida, la sopa está caliente.
Ready pa' soltar la boca.
Los autores del sonido.
And we're back on Penguin Radio. You're listening to the Travel Diaries. This is DJ Amore, and up next, I'm going to discuss my trip to the city of Bergamo, Italia, in the Italian Alps. So about the Italian Alps, I decided to go do this because there was this club called ESN, and it's a club I learned about from a friend of mine who was living in my building in Buonarroti. And ESN stands for Erasmus Student Network. I can't really tell you what Erasmus means, I forgot. and it really isn't online. I just know it means Erasmus Student Network. But pretty much, it's a club all over Europe at different schools and universities who bring students together with events and activities. And ESN Unicat Milano was the group I was in as an international student at Cattolica Universidad. Quick side note, I just wanted to say that the song I just played before this was El Taxi by Pitbull, just for those of you who enjoyed that and wanted to look it up. Anyway, back to my segment. It was a great program, ESN, and I met a lot of amazing people attending my host university through ESN. They, as an ESN Erasmus Network student network, put on the weekend trip to Bergamo. It was during February. It was still the first month that I was there, about, I think, 3 weeks. It was like the third week of me being there, right before classes were about to start. I got lucky with that. I got to Milan 2 weeks before classes started, so I had a little time to go do some stuff, you know, around Milan and Verona, and now to Bergamo. It definitely wasn't a place I planned on going to when I was thinking of places I'd go once I got to Europe, but I'm really glad I did, because I don't know why, I didn't realize that Bergamo was in the Italian Alps, and that's where we were going. So the whole way there, after signing up for the trip with my friends and with Erasmus, with ESN, I had no idea we were going to Italian Alps. Like, it did not even register to me until we get there. And there was a lot of us, so we stayed at this lodge, and it was like really up high on the mountains. Again, I didn't know that until we're in this huge bus with all these people, and there's a bunch of turns and curves up the mountain, and I'm kind of just like talking to my friend next to me, and I'm just like, what is going on? Why are there so many turns and curves? We're going up on an incline, like up, 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 like before we had spent the morning of the day in the actual city of Bergamo, a really small, cute town. And again, it was like snowing. It was like the snowy kind of season. It was still winter, so there was snow all over the ground, and it was really fun having like little snow fights and having lunch down there and seeing just what Bergamo had to offer as a city. Had some really good photo ops. But after we were leaving to go to the lodge up in the mountains, and we're all on the bus, this is like, you know, how you would imagine a Greyhound bus, like those like big charter buses that you go on when you have a field trip for school, or, you know, if you're an athletes player, you're on a sports bus going to your games and whatnot, different places, these big like charter buses. This is what I'm in. And these tiny little streets that lead up from the city of Bergamo to the mountains where this lodge was that we're staying with ESN, and all these people in my class. And fun fact I want to add, the Alps is the highest and most extensive mountain range system that lies entirely in Europe. It goes through 8 Alpine countries: Austria, Slovenia, France, Germany, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, Monaco, and of course Italy. Thus me being in the Italian Alps, which is something I never thought I'd get to do because, well, secret about me that I'm going to share now, so it's no longer a secret. I don't really like the snow. That might not resonate with some of you listeners out there who enjoy going to the snow, living in the snow. If you're from the snow and just, you know, transfer out here living in California, experience something different, let me tell you, I don't like the snow. I can never live in the snow. I know for a fact the snow and I are not going to be friends. We're only friendly when I'm playing in the snow, which is exactly what happened when I was at this lodge with ESN. I get there. Literally, guys, like I said before, I did not know we were going to the snow. I don't know why. Maybe I know I'm slow sometimes, but I didn't know I was that slow. Really. Because we're driving the whole way, and I didn't think anything of it. I just saw some pieces of snow here and there. But once we're getting up towards the lodge, snow everywhere. All over the place, all over the ground, all over the mountain, all over the lodge. There was a little lake, like a little pond that was frozen over. And it was really super pretty and really nice and kind of quaint, and the scenery was amazing. And there, and then on the left, like right in front of the lodge, is like part of the Italian Alps, like this huge mountain that just, it looks really close, but it's super far away. And it was kind of, you know, a little scary for me because I realized I'm in the snow and I haven't been in the snow since I was 12. And I only have been in the snow for fun, like going sledding or tubing. I've gone skiing maybe once. You can ask my best friend Courtney back home when we went skiing in the 8th grade. It was not good. We went skiing, failed at that. Me, not her. Then we get on the what's it called? When you get on the little rail that takes you up the mountain, little seats, and you have your snowboard and your ski shoes on. Hopefully some of you out there know what that is. Get up on that. And then when I get off, my snowboard is on my foot still because they made you keep it there. And I just kind of face plant into the snow. I'm sure if my best friend Courtney is listening right now, she's probably laughing so hard because she was there and witnessed it. And then after all that effort, I get up to the top of the mountain and I get so scared, I don't even snowboard down. I just sat on the snowboard and kind of slid down. Just kind of sat down and took my time getting back down. But anyway, that's a different story. Nothing to do with Bergamo. It just brought back those memories when I was in Bergamo of being in the snow, because that was the last time I had been in the snow. And again, just, I honestly can't. I had a great time there. I took some good pictures. It was a big surprise. But when we left, I was excited. I was like, let's go back to the city. Let's go back to Bergamo, because I had great times there and there wasn't as much snow. And, man, but that bus ride, let me tell you, that bus ride, getting up to that mountain and staying in that lodge of those people, that bus ride there and back again from Milan, it was 3 hours, a 3 hour bus ride from Milan to Bergamo. And, you know, at first it was fine, flat surface, you're on the highway. I don't think they call it highways there, but you're on the highway and no big deal. There's other cars, other buses. It's a nice, you know, a nice drive and your friends there, so you're talking and hanging out. But once we got closer to that mountain where the lodge was, I was getting a little more panicked because, you know, there's stories about that. There's stories recently that, like, only 2 months before that, there was a story about some foreign exchange students who actually all got in a car accident and only two of them survived. It was really, really sad. So here I am on this bus thinking about that story and freaking myself out more than I needed to. And I just wanted to share that because I know lots of people out here in California. I'm born and raised California girl, and snow is just not for me. Even though I know there's snow in Northern California, and I've been to the snow in Northern California, I'm still not about it. So I just wanted to share that because I'm sure there's some people out there just like, how could she not like the snow? I mean, honestly, snow is great. But, you know, in Bergamo, it was, I just can't live in it. You know, I had my little fun. I had my snowball fight with my friend Angela. Shout out to Angela. And shout out to Lexi, another friend of mine from Bergamo. From Milan. We had a little snow fight and went to the little pond and played in the water. And luckily for me, I had packed my snow boots. I actually had, like, winter UGG snow boots that my mom got me for Christmas. Again, when it back to packing a little bit, make sure you pack for all kinds of weather because you never know. You really never know. I had no idea that I was going to be in the snow, but I had brought those shoes, and I am really happy I did, because if I hadn't, I probably would have freezed. Like, my feet would have just frozen, just off, just gone. So if I didn't have the shoes, so thank God I did. And a little bit too about just the place we're at. The lodge was amazing. ASN was amazing. I had a great time with them. They really are a great program. And if you're ever in Europe at a university, check and see if your university has ESN. I know a lot of schools all over Italy have them. There were some in Germany. There were some in England, I believe. And it's fun, too, because they'll do, like, programs and, like, activities with other ESN groups. So, like, my ASN group, like I said before, if you're just tuning in, was ESN Cat Milano, which is for my university in Cattolica. And we would do events and activities with other universities, like the University of Milan was another one that was partners with Cattolica, and we'd go out with them to aperitivos and do these kinds of trips. There was one trip, I didn't actually attend this trip, there was one trip to Naples, and I heard later that it was an amazing time. So I just really appreciated my time there with Erasmus and with ESN and all the friends I made, because it really does help you with the immersion of meeting new people. And I think it's just a great program, probably the most fun, definitely, out of the clubs I had heard about while I was at Cattolica. And I'm really grateful that I got to go on that trip to Bergamo, because it was a place I was not planning on going to, not one of those, like, you know, big name cities like Milan or Paris or in London, which I also did go to, but, you know, a place that I hadn't considered going to, and then was really happy that I did, because now I can say I went to the Italian Alps. And hopefully if you those listening out there, you'll want to go to the Italian Alps too and go to this lodge in Bergamo, because it was a great time and you'll want to be a part of ESN, and I really recommend it. I'm going to take a short pause and get back to you with the next segment on transportation around Italy. I'm DJ Amore and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned. Also, at 6 p.m. after my show, check out Cowie Corner with DJ Sadaharu.
Mm-hmm. was doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city in a broke down car and 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar and I can't stop. No, I can't stop. So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. The sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older. We ain't ever getting older.
The day I met you, I forget just why I left you. I was insane. Stay and play that Blink 182 song that we beat to death in Tucson. Okay.
Back with DJ Amore on Penguin Radio. If you're just tuning in, we were talking about the small city of Bergamo, Italy, and my time there. I am now going to move on to transportation methods of Italy. So before I was talking about in Bergamo, I had to take this bus ride, and it was one of the craziest bus rides of my life. I was so scared. I asked anybody I was with, kind of a little bit of panic moment, but again, I got my composure and we were all safe, as you can see, as I'm here now giving my radio show. Transportation. I just kind of want to say that at the end of my segments, at the end of my shows, I like to talk about transportation at wherever place I'm talking about. So right now I'm talking about Italy. Last week I was talking about transportation in Milan. Now I'm just going to kind of sum it up a little bit about in Verona, in Bergamo, and these are some of the places that I went to in Italy. So I wanted to help anybody out with these tips about traveling and the best kind of ways to do that. So for me, I think the form of transportation I did the most was flying. Like, I flew to most everywhere that I went. The only exceptions were when I went other places in Italy. So, like, for example, Verona, Bergamo, when I went to Rome for Easter, which, again, another story for another day, amazing time. And when I went to Naples and Pompeii, those were all, you know, taking a train, taking a bus, taxi, all those things. But everywhere else that I went to outside of Italy, I flew. I didn't really take trains anywhere else, just because trains could be just as expensive as flying in Europe. And again, when I say that, it really isn't that expensive when you think about it, because I got to go to so many different places, and I don't want to sound, you know, all kinds of snooty that I got to go to so many different places, but I really, like, that was the whole point of me going. I had never been able to do any of these things before, and when you are, it's really exciting, so you want to kind of plan those things ahead of time. And all the places I went to, I flew with these small airlines. Now, I know this is a radio show, and there's probably people listening. Hope they're listening. And I'm not supposed to share this. It's kind of frowned upon by people and, you know, the European people of Europe. But most tourists don't know about these airlines. And I found that surprising, because I guess I didn't either until I met some people that I was, you know, living with and hanging out with in Milan. But tourists don't know about these airlines because they're such good deals that the Europeans and Italians and all these people kind of want to keep it to themselves. And I don't blame them, because it was pretty awesome. At the same time, though, terrifying. I don't know why, guys, but transportation was a huge thing for me. Obviously, I didn't have a car. I'm, you know, just there studying abroad. So I based my whole life and my schedule off of public transportation. And I have some pretty crazy stories about some of those forms of transportation. But I just wanted to help you out and give you the names of these airlines. So I don't know if any of you heard about EasyJet. EasyJet is probably one of the biggest airline companies in Europe. Flies all over Europe, pretty much anywhere in the... In Europe, sorry, I was going to say something else. In Europe, and there's also one called Ryanair. That one probably is the most commonly known one for Americans, Ryanair. I just heard about it last September from a friend of mine. And, you know, when I was going, I had some kind of expectation of these kinds of airlines. I was thinking it'd be like a normal airline like I'm used to in the United States. No, I was so wrong. They are nothing like normal airlines. I kind of question the safety regulations of these planes. Now, don't let me discourage you from using these airlines. They have really good rates. Probably part of the reason why I risked my life so many times to go to these places, because for my trips outside of Italy, I think the most I paid was maybe 160 euro. And that might sound like a lot, but compare that to flying from San Francisco all the way to New York. That plane ticket round trip is almost $350. Could be even more than that, depending on the time of the year. So, you know, going places like this, like I flew all the way from Italy to the Netherlands, which is I'll talk about in one of my other shows. But that's completely different parts of Europe, like up and down. And that did not cost anywhere near how much it would cost me to fly from California across the country to the East Coast. So I was just baffled by these prices and by these airlines. And I might be exaggerating a tad about risking my life. But in those kinds of situations when you're on the airline, you might consider that maybe that could be a possibility. But anyway, those are just some tips I wanted to give people out there who are thinking about traveling abroad, going anywhere in Europe. Those are some pretty good airlines to check out. There obviously are tons of other ones, but those are the two most popular because of their prices. There's like websites you can go on that compare prices for these airlines. But I think the cheapest flight I ever took was only 40 euro round trip. I'll have to get back to you on where exactly I was going from Milan. But, you know, it was definitely a culture shock. It really was a culture shock, because I hardly had ever gone anywhere outside of California. I've only been to maybe three other states, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington. And I definitely want to go other places. Oh, sorry, I've also been to New York. That's why I mentioned New York. So just a few states. There's a bunch, though, and I want to go to all of them now after having this travel bug instilled in me. But it definitely was a culture shock, because I'm not used to that, obviously. And I would tell you to take advantage of it every chance you get, because transportation in Europe is so much better than out here in the United States. That could be because of how close everything is in Europe, how close everything is to each other. But at the same time, it's just, you know, you will want to take advantage of it for sure. And that's with airlines, with buses, and with trains. Same kind of thing. Go online, find the website, type in, I want to go from Milan to to Verona, train ticket. My main transportation for trains was called Trenitalia. That ticket was only 40 euro round trip, and I would do that as many times as I could. And you could even do it from the airport. There's a train that would go from the airport in Milan, central Milan airport, to the metro system to get you back to wherever you have to go in Milan. And it just worked out really well, and I had a system, and I got used to it, and it happened all the time, and it worked out for me. And I just wanted to mention that in my ending of my show, and I'll definitely attempt to have a little segment about transportation in each of my shows just to help y'all out there who are thinking about going abroad. To hear more of my travel diaries, tune in at 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Next week will be the traveling to Spain. This has been DJ Amore on Penguin Radio. Ciao, ciao for now.
My traveling companion is-